that's the key to everything that we talking about today as far as the imposter syndrome, is the fact that it's not the difference between being successful and not being successful, but it's the mindset in the midst of your success. It's the mindset in the midst of your evolvement, and the fact that you can be evolving in your life and you can be successful in your life and still have self-doubt and still not be completely confident that all the things that you're doing and all the things that you've been doing, you're worthy of all that you're receiving as a result of it. You're worthy of the accomplishments. You're worthy of the accolades that you're getting as a result of your effort.
Hey there, it's me, Rainey Howard, and welcome to this special episode of The Rainey Howard Show. Today's topic is pretty interesting. I remember when I first heard about this term, it was used when people would interview celebrities and they would talk to them, ask them, you know, especially new celebrities, new famous people who, you know, were rich and they were on TV. They would often ask them, did you feel like you were an imposter or you had imposter syndrome? And I used to wonder, like, what does that mean? And so they would always explain, like, if you're in a room full of all of these A-list celebrities and they've accomplished all these big things, did you ever feel like you didn't belong? And the more I learned about this term, imposter syndrome, I just became very interested in learning on and understanding it. So let's get into this conversation. Have you heard of it before?
It wasn't something that I heard of initially, you know, just from that standpoint, just the term directly. But I have heard different examples, different situations where people question themselves being in different rooms and different environments. So I have heard of the definition of it and the discussion of the topic more or less than just the word itself.
Yeah.
The statement itself.
It's the more I've read on it and studied it, it's a level of insecurity when you've had a certain amount of success. And like you said, not feeling like you belong or feeling like you fit in with the environment, what came with that success. And so we're going to talk about the types of imposter syndrome. And so there are five different types. They call them the perfectionist, the expert, the soloist, the super woman or man, and the great mind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so let's talk about it. So first one, the perfectionist. Now, this is a person who thrives in achieving their high goals. They want everything to be right. Maybe they're a micromanager. They have an issue when results aren't perfect in the way that they want it. Have you encountered that or in your life, or have you worked with someone that's a perfectionist?
I've been like that to a certain extent in my own life, and especially when it comes to work. You know, when you get in a work environment, you always want your things. I know I felt like I've always wanted my work to be the top notch and put my best foot forward, especially because I considered it as a representation of myself. So there were moments when I would put pressure on myself to make sure that everything I was doing was A plus work and A plus effort and results. Realistically, I think part of the perfectionist in me was looking for that validation in others to say it. Not just the fact that I was doing the best that I could possibly do, but just seeking that validation and those results from the external environment after I put forth that effort. I think that played a part.
Was this in the beginning of your career, or?
I think it was throughout my career, because I think I've always looked at my work as I want to do the best possible work, and I want it to be pleasing to the person, the client, the manager, whomever I'm delivering my services to.
So do you think you still have that with you now as a perfectionist? You want?
I think that I still have moments where I look at my work and I'm doing the work to the best of my abilities. However, I don't put so much pressure on myself based on how others view them per se. You know, I look at it like if I'm doing everything that's required of me, putting the necessary effort in, doing the proper amount of due diligence, then I have done my part.
Yeah.
To make the contribution that I seek to contribute in the project.
Right. And I think there's a thin line between, you know, working in excellence and being a perfectionist.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to being a perfectionist, you struggle. It's like you're working with this level of excellence, but there's also a struggle to control.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectionists, they want things to be done their way. They want it. It's a controlling way.
Right.
It can come across with pressure.
So when we were talking about this before, off mic, off camera, we talked about how that is done in relationship.
Yeah.
And the fact that these characteristics can be key contributors in a person's relationship. If a person is a perfectionist, have you seen that in your experience talking to people or just directly trying to be a perfectionist and creating the lifestyle mold that you feel is the storybook of what you want to do and having created pressure to make the life that you want it to be, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. Or just other people working hard like that, trying to make things look a certain way.
Okay. I mean, which question are you asking me? Are you asking me?
Perfectionists and relationships. Have you seen that? And how does that look?
So I think when it comes to relationships, it's more so people not wanting to just be authentically who they are because of the fear of being judged or not good enough. So they'll come across as this perfect person and they'll try to do everything perfectly in the relationship. And this is usually in the beginning because it's very difficult to hold this together for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the beginning of the relationship, they're so perfect with everything they do, the dates, the plans, the gifts, the call, phone calls, the romantic gestures, all of that stuff. It's just perfect. Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. And after so long, all of that pressure of being perfect, it just weighs them down and they get burned out. Because usually perfectionists, they start, it's a level of insecurity, that imposter syndrome, because they want everything to be perfect 100% of the time when it's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how it usually come across in relationships.
Okay.
And usually people aren't aware of it, but they're like the other person, whoever is trying to be this perfect person, the other person have no idea who they really are. And they're just enjoying all of it. Like, oh, wow. Oh, look what he got me. Oh, he bought me this. Oh, he's doing that. Oh, look at her. Look, she did this. You know, well, whoever in that relationship. And so they get all this praise and, you know.
Yeah. I think, too, when it comes to relationships and two people working together, do you think that this mindset, this way of doing things can be a joint effort in relationships where two people are trying to create a lifestyle that gives the impression that everything is perfect in their relationship?
It can. And like I said, it's a level of insecurity because it's that imposter syndrome where you're not completely content with who you are, that you feel like you have to overdo or overcompensate or show that you're something else to the other person. I think it can be two people at the same time.
Yeah. Because when I think about it, I also think about the fact that, just like my example, people want to give the impression to others, to impress others, to give the impression that they're perfect. But at the same time, they want to make sure that they're not exposed for their imperfections. That things always look like it's A+, top notch, excellent. We so happy. We never have any issues. We never have any problems. We live in our best life. But also having that mindset where they don't want to give too much exposure to their lives because it'll truly expose that things aren't the way that they portray them to be. And they'll right. be seen for it, you know, and called out for that stuff.
Right. You know, that leads me to the superwoman or superman where they come across as having it all together, really competent, figuring it all out. They can do all things really easy and really well. I am super mom. I'm super wife or super girlfriend, fiance or whoever. And so they come across trying to do and be everything.
Mm.
And it depletes you.
Yeah.
And so you end up feeling like you're exhausted and you feel like you're not being true to who you are.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you're dealing with this, here are some things you may want to consider. Maybe you want to ask yourself, do you stay late in the office and work really, really late than the other people that you work with? Are you the one that's willing to take on all the work and are in the relationship? Maybe you're the one that's doing everything. You're planning the dates. You're buying the gifts. You are paying the bills and you're just overcompensating, right? The whole entire situation. You may be dealing with this imposter syndrome of being the superwoman or the superman and feeling stressed because you're taking on so much.
Yeah. And being that way can create self-doubt when things don't always work out the way that you expect them to. I think in this mindset and the superwoman, the superman, if you're experiencing life where you feel like I'm more than capable of doing everything I desire to do, I should be able to do this effortlessly and easily. And if you're not doing them that way, if it doesn't come across to you that way, then you start developing self-doubt and you start being concerned within yourself, even if you're getting the results that you desired, but because they didn't happen as quickly as you wanted them to, or because there were a lot more challenges that you have to overcome that you didn't expect in advance. You start questioning yourself. You start questioning your competence. You start questioning your strength. And that can also be something that holds you back, that challenges you in continuing to move forward, you know, in your life.
Yeah. Another thing to consider is, do you put your own hobbies, your own desires on hold just so that you can fulfill the needs of others? You put yourself on hold. Because you, like I was saying, you know, when you're superwoman, when you're the one that's accomplishing and making it all happen and you're doing it with every strength you have, you're left depleted.
Yeah.
So I can say I was once in that spot. I remember being in that place where I tried to do it all and take on everything and really feel like I needed to become someone I wasn't. And I really didn't give myself the, what am I looking for? I didn't give myself that opportunity to say, hey, you can rest, do something you like, enjoy yourself, enjoy your life. What do you want to do? I didn't do that. I was so focused on making sure everybody else was okay. The kids good. Okay, I got to make sure, okay, you good, my husband good, the business good, the clients, okay. And I felt myself just worn out and just trying to do it, do it all.
That kind of ties into the other description of the imposter syndrome, which is the soloist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the individual who feels like they have to do it all by themselves. And the fact that it can be done through their own strength without any help from anybody else.
Oh,
you know, even if they're in a position where they need help, they don't communicate it because they feel that they have to be the one to get the job done.
Yeah. And you know, the sad thing about it, this is what destroys a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, a lot of careers, because what happens is the person who is the soloist, who's doing all the work, who's not asking for help, who's not letting everyone else know that they need a little assistance, they feel, it's almost like they feel used in the end. Like once they reach that place of burnout and they get to this place in their life where they feel like all the energy is gone and they're depleted, they are resentful of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't the other people that's doing it, but the fact that they didn't reach out and ask for help, or the fact that they didn't delegate some things,
right,
or they tried to take on everything because they don't want any help. They want to accomplish it, achieve it all themselves, and they got to do it all there, you know, by themselves.
Right. It's like the people that say, if it's going to get done, I got to be the one to do it.
Exactly.
You know, operating in that way. And when I think about us, I think about our relationship. I think there were moments in the past where I took on that identity, where it was early in our marriage. And I say, we freshly starting a family, got the little babies running around. And it's like, you know what? You don't have to worry about working. I'll work. I'll make sure I'm paying all the bills. I'll make sure I do this, I do that. And at the same time, battling with the whole thought process of the lifestyle we want to live and having certain things and doing all this.
So why do men do that? Why did you do that? Why did you, you know, we were young, we were married, early 20s, and, you know, little babies right after we got married. Why did you come to me and say you don't have to work?
Why? Did I come to you and say you don't have to work? I think we talked about it and it was an agreement.
Okay.
That you didn't have to work. I didn't say you didn't have to, but
you did say I didn't have to work. That was, you said.
I remember it a little differently.
So, well, how do you remember it?
I remember us talking about how we wanted to start our family, how we wanted to live, and how we wanted to do it based off of one income. And so that we wouldn't get so dependent on both levels of, you know, income and all of that stuff. Because we had seen some examples of families who were operating that way, where the mom was taking care of the kids at home, where they was doing homeschooling, where the dad was doing all the working and paying all the bills. And I think that's kind of where that stemmed from, where we was like, oh, okay, I think that'd be a good idea. We could do that. That's where it started, for me at least. But as far as taking on all of the responsibilities and making those decisions, I can't say that all men make that decision in the same way.
I just know culture-wise, it's usually the man who say, I'll take care of the expenses and household, and the woman can just stay home and take care of the kids.
Yeah. I think that's based on gender roles, though. That the man is the provider, he takes care of the family, he, you know, take care of the household. So from a gender role perspective, not even just thinking things through or considering, say, job opportunities, whether the wife or has a better career path or not, I think it's just based on just the gender roles. So automatically, men take on that responsibility. Like, you know, if they're really being trying to be responsible and take care of their families, they say, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do that, regardless of how stressful it may be, how much pressure it is to take care of everything, and even how much help they may need.
But couldn't that cause a man who is struggling to pay all the bills by himself,
mm-hmm,
after a certain point, couldn't that cause him to have some resentment, even after telling his wife she didn't have to work?
I think that it can. I think that it can cause that, especially when in moments where you truly need help and the burden has just become overwhelming. You know, it don't even have to get to the point of being too overbearing and overwhelming. But the fact that, like you communicated earlier, the fact that you didn't communicate that you needed assistance is what gets you to that place of things being overbearable, you know?
Right, right. And I know in our situation, we started off in the early years of our marriage where I think it was like, what, the first 3-4 years of our marriage where you worked and I was home with the kids.
Right.
And then eventually that really wasn't for me. And I was like, I'm going to work.
Right.
And that was something that I just put out there. It really wasn't something that you came to me or you was resentful about or whatever. I think the issues that we had was when I wanted more as far as like more material things in the house, you know, shoes, clothes, vacations, experiences, all of those things. As I desired more of those things, then you felt like it was a burden to you because you was looking at your income and what could be what you could afford at the time. But I think communication is so important. And that's why the imposter syndrome is really not healthy in a relationship for either person to take on all of the work or responsibility or, you know, strength as being the superwoman or the superman or the perfectionist. Yeah. It really depletes the individual in the relationship.
Yeah, it should be a shared experience and it should be an open line of communication so that you're not putting unnecessary pressure on yourself to be this everything to the whole relationship and to everybody else. I think that communication is key.
Exactly. I think that was something I had to overcome in business just because as an entrepreneur for so many years, I was, first of all, I was a solo entrepreneur. So the soloist fit that title, but I was a solo entrepreneur for so many years. But then when my business began to grow and evolve and expand and I started hiring a team and hiring more people, I had to learn how to delegate and to trust and to let go and to even promote and hire and pass on tasks to different individuals in the business that I was over. And I was so used to doing, even though it wasn't my expertise, you know, like, for instance, finance, working on
accounting,
you know, accounting work. Exactly. Doing accounting work, which is something that didn't always bring me joy, but, you know, passing that on when you became full time on business, it was just like, oh, that really helped me tremendously. And I didn't realize what I was doing to myself by trying to take care of everything on my own and no assistance in my achievement and just doing everything myself and having my hand in everything myself. I am so much more free and at peace and at ease just from letting go of all of that.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. That's the key to everything that we're talking about today as far as the imposter syndrome is the fact that it's not the difference between being successful and not being successful, but it's the mindset in the midst of your success. It's the mindset in the midst of your evolvement and the fact that you can be evolving in your life and you can be successful in your life and still have self-doubt and still not be completely confident that all the things that you're doing and all the things that you've been doing, you're worthy of all that you're receiving as a result of it. You're worthy of the accomplishments. You're worthy of the accolades that you're getting as a result of your effort.
Before we go any further, I have a question. Are your fears attracting toxic relationships? Your outward appearance may show confidence, but on the inside, are you insecure? Do you struggle with your desires to please people and gain their approval? Your fears may be leading you into unhealthy relationships. If you can relate to this, you may want to read my book, You Are Enough: Overcoming People-Pleasing and Emotionally Unavailable Relationships. Get this book at realloveexist.com. Life has a way of confronting you with the same things in new packages, just to see if you've learned anything. Often after you end one toxic relationship, another one comes around the corner with a different name and story. You'll eventually have to deal with the roots of your heart that you're attracting these toxic relationships. Read more in my best-selling book, You Are Enough. Is it real love or your need for validation? Overcoming People-Pleasing and Emotionally Unavailable Relationships at www.realloveexists.com. I had a lady contact me and she told me, you know, for years she was in a terrible relationship and she ended that relationship. She said, now I'm happily married. Things are so amazing. But she said, I just keep thinking that it's too good to be true and something is going to happen. And she said, because she wasn't used to having such a loving relationship. And that's what sets in the imposter syndrome, is that level of success. Once you get to that level of success, whether it's in your relationship, in your career, in your business, in your health, whatever, you can begin to, it's like sabotaging yourself. Yeah. And like, and you start to think, oh, well, okay, well, I need to be perfect, or I need to make sure that I'm the best at this and I need to do this. And so you get out of just the natural flow of being you and being authentic and just enjoying your life. And you get into this pressured field, you know, stress of trying to be a perfectionist and the superwoman and the soloist. Oh, I got this. I can handle it. And you take on so much and it stresses out the entire relationship.
Yeah. And I think, too, in combination with all of it, being able to communicate, that's one key. But also having a heart of gratitude, just a heart of gratitude, not just for what you already have, but for what you're believing for, what you're believing that you're going to accomplish. Having that heart of gratitude prepares you for the feelings that come with all the accomplishments you seek to do, so that you don't have a moment to feel bad, because that gratitude that set into your mind already let you know the feelings of accomplishment, the feelings of worthiness, the feelings of you are enough, and the thankfulness of everything that comes your way. You know, but having a heart of gratitude is key too.
That is very key. It's in any level of success. Instead of focusing on, oh, what could go wrong or where things could be headed down the line or whatever, being grateful, that can shift the entire experience, whether it's in your career, in your relationship. Just you getting to a place of being grateful for the level, for the accomplishments, for the people you have around you, for all of the experiences and joy and all of that, everyday life, moment to moment, just finding a way to say, I am so grateful. I'm so thankful. It makes a world of difference. It actually helps you to continue to evolve yourself into even higher levels and experience life on a greater scale, you know, in every area of your life.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Okay, so the expert is another type of the imposter syndrome. This is a person where everything, you got it all figured out. You know it all. You don't need no help. You don't ask for advice. You have it together. Now, this is a big issue because a lot of times people can be really going through in their life. And instead of reaching out for therapy, reaching out to get some assistance, a mentor, a coach, a talk to a friend, they'll try to hold it in and figure it out. And that's the expert type in the imposter syndrome.
Right.
Because they don't want anybody to know that they're hurting. They don't want anyone to know that they're weak. To go and to ask for help feels like weakness. But they don't understand how much they're hurting themselves by not doing that.
Right. And the ultimate display of confidence is the willingness to go out and seek the help that you need. Sometimes that can be a stretch and that can be a challenge. But you got to stretch yourself and push yourself, because these things that we're talking about, they're not uncommon. They're not as individualized as they may seem. You may think that you're the only one experiencing this, but there are so many people experiencing this. And to the root of it, it deals with your level of confidence. And if that's something that you're dealing with, you truly need to seek that assistance, that help, that therapist, that conversation that can help you overcome and get past those things.
I'll never forget the difference in between growing my company. I remember, you know, for years, for a good, what, 5+ years, I was at a certain level in my business. And it wasn't until I start hiring mentors and business coaches that things just took off. I remember the first year I started doing that, my business grew over 1,000%. And so I just saw the difference. And really, that was me dropping that title, that expert imposter syndrome that I had to be the expert and to know it all. And if I didn't know it, well, I could figure it out myself and I don't need to pay money to do it. But just to be willing to invest in the knowledge and connect with the people who had the knowledge, which required me to invest and invest in coaching services and things like that. And I saw a huge difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about that even in our relationship. It wasn't until we invested in a marriage retreat that we began to see a spark and a growth in our marriage, which inspired us 2 years later, start realloveexists.com and to help other marriages.
Right.
It wasn't until we actually went to seek the advice, the help, drop the expert, you know.
Right, right. Once we got past that and realized it took an extra step on our part.
Because I believe really a lot of people have that mindset. Oh, I can figure it out on my own. I don't need help. I don't need to read a book. I don't need to have nobody tell me how to be a wife. I don't need nobody to tell me how to be a parent, you know. And people believe that.
Right.
And they don't realize how much it holds them back.
It reminds me of back when we were young in our relationship and you were reading a book about parenting. And I can't recall who it was, but somebody had came to you and said, "You trying to learn how to be a parent by reading a book or something like that, right?"
Yes. I used to buy parenting books like all the time while I was pregnant, even after having my kids, because I wanted to learn the proper way of discipline and training them to be obedient. All of that. I used to read all of those books on being nannies and how they, you know, organize things. And yeah, and it was a friend of mine who was like, I just don't believe no book can teach me how to be a parent. I'm like, wow. Because I learned so much from those books, and those books helped me tremendously.
Right, right. And the truth of it is that once we get past that hesitation, that fear of people knowing that we don't know everything, then we can open up the doors to receive, and we can receive help from people, because God really uses people to bless us. And as long as we're hiding behind our own self-confidence, our own perfectionist way of doing things, our own way of thinking that we have it all together, we're limiting our opportunities. Like we talked about before, we're self-sabotaging potential opportunities in the future because we're not open up to receive from
That's
other
right.
people.
Right. Okay, let's talk about this final type of the imposter syndrome, which is the great mind. It's when you judge yourself on ease and speed. If it were really, if you would think this about yourself, you know, if I'm competent, it will come to me quickly and easily. So you're expecting things to happen fast. And if it's not happening fast, then you're thinking automatically like, oh, well, this is something wrong, when that's not how it happens.
Yeah. And you can be in a place where you feel like you're talented. You feel like you're smart. The moment you see some prerequisite that says you have to meet this educational requirement or you got to have this level of experience at that moment, then you doubt yourself. You hold yourself back from pursuing something that you're more than capable of doing. You're more than capable of learning, but you hesitate because of these external requirements that tell you, that give you the impression that you're not enough, that you don't have enough.
Yeah. Or you believe on those things and you use them as a crutch or as your way of being enough. Because that's a two-way fold. You can see it.
And it just reminds me of a quote I saw about excuses. And it said that excuses are just reasons to fail. Like anytime that you give yourself an excuse not to do something, you're just giving yourself the okay to fail in that area.
Right. and it keeps you in that victim mode. Like, oh, I'm because of this, I can't do it because of that. So, yeah,
right.
I agree. I'm really into this and just being more aware of how these are some of the things that can subconsciously hold us back as we evolve in our life, mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
So we definitely have to continue this conversation and grow in every area of our life. So
yeah, because the whole point is to not create mindsets, theories, or beliefs that keep you back from having the life that you desire, having the relationship that you desire, and the income and everything that you desire. You know, you're more than capable of doing so much more, and you don't want to stop yourself just with your own mind from doing the things that you're capable of doing.
That's right. That's right. Well, we want to thank you listeners for tuning in, and we love to hear your feedback. So be sure to join us in our next episode of The Rainey Howard Show. Thanks for tuning in for this episode of The Rainey Howard Show. Be sure to sign up to our emailing list at realloveexists.com and raineyhoward.com. We want to hear from you. Send your feedback on today's episode on Facebook and Instagram at Rainey Howard. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to download and subscribe so that you don't miss our next episode. Thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to connecting with you in our next show.